Times when we read your word, oh God, there's topics, oh God, that are not spoken enough in the church, but this morning we want to speak on that, oh Lord. We want to hear from you this morning, we pray, oh God. And Father, as a church, we want to continue praying for the sick among us, oh God. Father, there are many among us who are sick, but Lord, we want to continue praying, oh Father. Father, as you have answered prayers of our brothers and sisters in this church, oh God, or have you answered prayers of families that we know, God, you are capable of answering prayers again today, Father, because you have never changed. You're the same, Lord, yesterday, today, and forever. And we want to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, oh God, for what you're going to do this morning, oh Father, to our hearts and our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. God is good. Amen. First, I want to say welcome to everyone. If you're new here this morning with us, welcome to New Hope Christian Assembly. It's great to see you with us this morning. Welcome the ones that are back from vacation. I know there's a few that just came back this morning, so welcome back. And I know there's also a few that are out of town again today, so we just want to continue praying for them and for the Lord giving traveling mercies. So once again, welcome to New Hope Christian Assembly, the ones who came back from vacation. Sister V, nice to see you with us here. Sister Constance is also another sister. Where is she? She's probably downstairs. But there's back. There's many here that are coming back. So we'll just say praise God. I know summer is just, we say, around the corner. Huh? You know, because summer here, you better enjoy when the sun comes out. Because I've noticed that you're outside. The sun is out there. And all of a sudden, there's a storm. Like, we just look. I just saw the sun. And all of a sudden. So we got to enjoy. When the sun comes out, we got to enjoy it. Amen? It puts a smile on our face. Because when we see darkness, we're all discouraged. But when we see sun, everybody's happy and everybody's smiling and everybody's going a good day. But this morning, first of all, I want to say thank you for being out here this morning and for coming out to the service. And just, I know that God has something for us this morning. And it's a topic this morning that's pretty, pretty heavy. And I know it's not spoken enough in the churches, but I think we should touch that this morning and speaking about that. But before I go into that, I also want to say it was 1 year of great joy for my wife and I, my family and I, to serve here at New Hope Christian Assembly. It passed so fast. Brother Joseph says, the hard times, you went through the hard times of the 1 year, brother, there's a lot to go still. But, you know, it usually takes 3 to 5 years to be adjusted in a place, wherever it is, if it's in a business, if it's in a church, the adjustment is always there, adjustment on the part of the congregation, adjustment even on the part of myself to adjust with every individual. But I can tell you, it is a wonderful journey for us to be here and to experience the presence of the Lord together with every single one of you here this morning, to know every one of you and to speak to you, to pray with you, and the congregation prays for me and on a regular basis, and I know you do, because I really sense the presence of God upon my life, and I thank you for that, and continue doing so, not just for me, but my wife is not here, but please pray for my wife and children. Please pray for my wife and children before myself. I want them to be healthy and strong. I want them to be solid so I can serve better in the kingdom of God. Amen? So let's get into the Word of God this morning. It's deliverance ministry. How long is it that we haven't heard a message like this in a church? So this is something that we're going to look at this morning. So, and I'm just looking around, scouting. And I'm not here scouting around to say, who's possessed this morning? No, I'm not looking at that this morning. No, I'm not that. You know, but we're going to look at some scriptures, because we are talking about the ministry of Jesus. Okay, we looked at last week the spiritual warfare last week. And today we're going to look at deliverance ministry. Sister Vivian, I want to say welcome. It's been a long time you haven't here, but you're here this morning. May the Lord continue giving you strength to come on out and to worship the Lord together. So praise God, and it's nice to see you this morning. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. We're going to continue praying for Sister Vivian. We're not going to stop. We're going to continue praying and continue praying. Amen. So I want to continue the ministry on the ministry of Jesus. And we've mentioned last week, it was the life of Jesus. It was for our encouragement, not only for our information, but we can also be transformed and imitate with the life of Jesus and have you walked on this earth. And we need to understand and the ministry that we have to imitate what Christ has done. We can't do exactly the same things of God, but we're going to try to get closer enough because God has called us. Remember in John 14:12 says, "Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will be doing even greater things." That's the thing that we looked at. Is the PowerPoint working on this morning? It's not working on this morning. I don't know. It just crashed on us. We had a lot of verses that I want to share with you this morning. So please pay attention. If you have a pen or a paper, just write it down. And you can look at it later on. So it was Jesus' expectations that when he went to his Father, we will continue to do the work of Jesus. There are many stories in the Bible that we've looked at. Even last week I said that. And we can fully embrace. And yet there are others that we ignore. There are others we ignore in the scriptures. So some areas we say, yes, oh, I love this story and I want to apply this into my life. And we all agree that we have something to do with it. But the other's ministry, we don't know what to do with it. And as a result, that we ignore them. The other things that Jesus, when he walked on this earth, we at times we think it's not for our time today, so we ignore those what Jesus has done and try to apply to our life. So we're going to look at the life of Jesus as the ministry of deliverance on a demonic spirit. That was the central of Jesus' ministry. And as we look at the Gospels, we see that Jesus preached, healed, and cast out demonic spirits. It was a central ministry. It was central to his ministry. And so if we can preach in the churches, we can talk about God, we can preach about God, we can have good programs, we can have good everything else, we can have good singing, but also in that package, there must be even casting out demonic spirits. It's not just for the Bible times. It wasn't just the times of Christ walking on earth. It's even times for today, as we are living today. There are people who, even in the church, because sometimes people might say, someone cannot be oppressed by a spirit, a demonic spirit in the church. Let me tell you something. There are people who are oppressed by the spirit, a demonic spirit, even within the church walls. Because why? The enemy always has his foothold on someone's life and tries to grab someone's life and capture them and oppresses that person. So today, I want to just go through some scriptures. Remember last week we spoke about how powerful the enemy is? Yes, he is powerful. We're going to look at even some more of that. And we're going to shake hell up just and scare the devil up. And we're going to just tell him he belongs in that place. He belongs in hell. He does not belong in our homes. He does not belong in our families. He does not belong in our church. But church, we got to rise up and rise up strong and cast out demonic spirit in people's lives so they can be set free by the power of God. And they can walk free in freedom. And you and I know there's some people that walk in the spirit of demonic spirit, and they're so down, and they're so discouraged, and they're so crippled, and they're so like this, and they don't even know what's going on in their life because they let the enemy put their foothold in their life. And this morning we're going to look at the scriptures, and I pray that the scripture would touch our hearts, how to remove the demonic spirits that attack us. And I believe in that this morning. Oh, the devil is not happy with us. I can tell you that. You know, I was talking to a brother last week, a couple of days ago, and he was telling me, I was being attacked all week. What's going on? The devil is angry. He's upset because he knows we're in serious business with God. And when we're in serious business with God, he's going to come serious against us. And he will do everything in his power to try to destroy us and try to hurt us. Anything, that's what he tries to do. So I don't know about some, most churches have great preachings. And we see the power of God healing people's lives. But we need to speak about demonic spirits, how to cast them out. How to cast them out. It seems that it's stopped. In some churches, it seems that it's stopped. And however, we don't believe that people cannot have demonic spirits. I have a hard understanding that there are some churches who specifically talk about demonic spirits and casting out demons. And there are some churches who don't even know and don't even open the scriptures when you speak about demonic spirits. I have a hard time understanding that. Because Jesus, the life of Jesus, when he walked and you look through the Gospels, many times and many occasions, he went out casting out demonic spirits in people's lives. And we need to imitate that this morning. Because we are here to do greater things. Amen. We are called to do greater things. We are called to be kingdom advanced people, to go and continue doing what God has called us to do. But when you hear, when you see someone who is oppressed by a spirit, we look and say, oh, how do we take care of this? And this is what we're going to look today. How are we going to take it? And it's so amazing. It is so simple. The scriptures gives us it all. The scriptures gives us it all how to do it. Look at this. We pray and say, oh, we pray and say, let the kingdom of God come down. Don't we pray that? Let the kingdom of God come down. The Bible tells us in Luke 11:20, the slide number 3, if you have it there, if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. Look at that. If I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. In other words, this is a revelation and a manifestation of the coming of the kingdom of God. And what Jesus was doing is the same thing. We are called to do both declare and to display the kingdom of God. We're declared by preaching the word of God, and we're to display by going to people God has called us to go to. And we do when we go out and do what God has called us to do, that's when we have a taste of the kingdom of God. When Satan is crushed and diseases are no more there, and people start worshiping God, fully Christ, you get a foretaste of that, the kingdom of God. So if you want to see the kingdom of God, we pray, Lord, let your kingdom be done. Let your kingdom be done, Lord. But it says that finger to cast out demons. When you see someone set free by the power of God, that's when the kingdom of God is coming down. We got to do what we're called to do. We got to do what we're called to do. I know it might scare some people about this morning. It might be a silent church this morning because we're talking about deliverance. But we cannot ignore this ministry. You and I encounter people who are oppressed. We can't ignore it, and we got to fight it. We got to fight it. So I look at this morning the three realities in this ministry deliverance that we will dig in this text this morning. We're going to found in, you probably were saying, what's the text this morning? We're going there. Luke chapter 4. Remember, we're in the book of Luke. So Luke chapter 4, verses 31 to 37. May we all stand in the reading of God's word. So I was a little bit fired up. This is first introduction here, but we're going to get there. I'm going to calm down a little bit and give you some Bible verses. And then later on, we'll see what the Lord leads us to. Amen? Then he went down to Capernaum, a town of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. They were astonished at his teaching because his message had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man with an unclean demonic spirit. Look, in a synagogue. That means in a church. Was a man, an unclean demonic spirit, who cried out with a loud voice, "Leave us alone. What do you have to do with us, Jesus Nazarene? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet and come out of him." In throwing him down before them, the demon came out of him without hurting him at all. Amazement came over them all, and they kept saying to one another, "What is this message? For he commands the unclean spirit with authority and power." And they came out, and news about him began to go out to every place in vicinity. Look at this again. Leave us alone. It was in plurals. How many demonic spirits that this person had? Leave us alone. He didn't say, leave me alone. Leave us alone. Some people can face many demonic spirits in their life today as you encounter daily. So we can sit down and we just maybe seated, and we're going to continue the word this morning. So the first point that I want to share with you this morning is the following. Demons can affect us. They are powerful. Demons can affect us, and they are powerful. I believe that All of us here know the demonic presence is powerful, but I'm just not sure that we acknowledge how powerful the real actually is. How they can affect us in every area of our lives, as psychological, physical, spiritual, mental, and spiritual warfare. He can hit us in any way because he is so powerful. What's interesting about this is that there is no indication in the scriptures that we have read this morning here. There was no indication there was a manifestation of kind of a demonic spirit. You don't see it in the outward of it. But expect the fact that Jesus has entered into the synagogue, walked full of the Holy Spirit. He walked full of the Holy Spirit in the synagogue. And then you see this person. It wasn't an outward manifestation. It was an inward manifestation. He says, leave us alone. He knew the power and the authority of Jesus walking in that place. He could not hold anymore in that place. There's a power, there's an authority. He knew Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. And he knew, those demonic spirits knew that when Jesus speaks and when Jesus declares those demonic spirits, there's no place to be there. But the beauty of it there's the authority and power of Jesus. And do you know, and I'm going to get to that later on, the authority and power you and I have this morning. Because when you and I accepted Christ, he gave us the whole package. He gave us the authority and he gave us the power to go out and do those things, greater things that he has called us to do. Amen? The demon, knowing that Jesus was, and cried out, leave us alone. But it didn't seem that he had this demonic spirit. People didn't realize it. People did not realize that he had a demonic spirit because there was no way of being like a serpent over there on the floor and the ground. But no, this inward just came out and says, leave us alone. And through the scriptures, we will see over and over again the unclean spirits. We see in the scriptures, through all the gospels, you will see the unclean spirits. Luke 6, verse 17 to 18. After coming down with him, he stood up on the level place with a large crowd and his disciples and a great number of people from all Judea and Jerusalem, from all the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. They came here to him. They came to him, hear him, and to be healed of their disease. And those tormented by unclean spirits were made well. They were tormented. It doesn't tell us here what are the unclean spirits that he was facing this person over here. But I was looking, I said, what is this unclean spirit? An unclean spirit is simply a demon is in the person's life. Some translations refer it as an impure spirit. The New Testament is unclean spirits are mentioned over 20 times as we look at it. Unclean spirits can possess and cause sickness and harm to people's lives. A demon is wicked. Evil spirits are not only wicked themselves, but they delight wickedness and promote wickedness in people's lives. That's how serious we're dealing with. That's how serious the enemy is. And he has no regards on our life. He doesn't care who you are and what stature you are and what level of spirituality you are. His purpose is to destroy your life and his purpose is to destroy my life. In New Hope Christian Assembly, we must stand firm and fight these demonic spirits and set people free. And when the people are set free, the kingdom of God has just come. Because people have been set free by the power of God. Oh, Lord, I'm just getting started over here. I'm just getting started because God is going to work in our lives. So I'm not here this morning. And I'm not saying that anybody has a demonic spirit here. I'm not saying that at all. But I can tell you one thing. There are people in this place here that we face today. There's a foothold. The enemy had taken a foothold of something in your life. And we must let it go this morning. So we can be victorious. So we can walk in freedom in Jesus' name. Amen? We can walk in freedom in Jesus' name. So it doesn't tell us what kind of a unclean spirits, but I can just tell us, we can look at this. It says in verse 18, they were tormented. They were troubled. When you look at tormented by the unclean spirit, they were tormented, there was pain, that something in that person's life that had trouble. It could have been physical, it could have been emotional, it could have been psychological. Either way, there were trouble. There was a demon presence in that person's life. In Luke 8, verse 26, 29, then they sailed to the region and then opposite to Galilee. When he got out of the land, a demon-possessed man from the town met him for a long time. He wore no clothes and did not stay in the house, but in the tombs. When they saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him and said in a loud voice, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man. Many times he has seized him until he was guarded down by chains and shackles. He would snap the resistance and be driven by the demon into the deserted places. Now look at this. If you look in Matthew, now if you really want to know who is someone who's possessed, because sometimes I hear people say, because we're not talking about possession here this morning, but sometimes people say this, because the person doesn't know Jesus Christ, he's possessed. It's false. It's false. Because right in the scriptures, if you look at Matthew, you're going to see it. There are signs there to see if someone who's demon possessed. Right here we've seen one thing. One, he came out of the tombs. So someone who's possessed will isolate themselves from people. Will stay away from. And then Matthew tells us not only that he came out of the tombs, but he was also cutting himself. He was hurting himself. So someone who's possessed comes out of the tomb. He stays in the tomb. Stays and isolates himself. He can isolate them in a room. He can isolate them in a place. He can house in a house. But do not want to associate with people. And then they hurt themselves. And then another thing the scripture says, they have a supernatural power. That you can be 10 people around that person to put them down, but that demon is so powerful, they're going to make you all fly. You're dealing with something strong out here. Something powerful. There's no joke right here. As Brother Carmen said, there's no joke. This is something serious. And there's people who are possessed, but there's also people who are oppressed. But someone says, but I can't. I'm a Christian. I can't. We're going to look at that today. Here's a man in Luke 8. Thousands of demons. He was chained. Maybe the whole body. No way out. And he would snap it out. He would come out because that power of that demon within that person's life. The power of the demons broke the chains. And these demons are controlling him physical, emotional, and psychological. In Luke 9, verse 37 to 43. The next day when they went out from the mountain, a large crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd cried together, "I beg you to look at my son because he's my only child." Often a spirit seizes him. Suddenly he shrinks and he throws himself in convulsions and in foams at the mouth, wounding him. It hardly even leaves him. "I beg your disciples to drive him out," but they couldn't. Jesus replied, look at this, because the demon can also affect someone's life. Jesus replied, "You unbelieving and rebellious generation, how long will I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." As the boy was approaching, the demon knocked him down and threw him into severe convulsion. But Jesus rebuked what? The unclean spirit. Cured the boy and gave him back to his father. They thought he had seizures and had these convulsions, but reality is the demonic spirit that was controlling this person's life. Here's a child with convulsion, but Jesus knew it was not a seizure, it was a spirit attack, a demonic spirit, and then Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. In Luke 11, 14, he was driving out a demon that was mute. That means even some people who are mute can be possessed. But Jesus knew it wasn't mute. It was a demon that was controlling that person's life. That's how powerful the enemy is. He can mute someone's person's life. In Luke 13, 10 to 13, it tells, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. A woman was there who had been disabled by a spirit over 18 years. She was bent over and could not be straightened up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called out her, "Woman, you are free of your disability." Then he laid his hands on her, and instantly she was restored and began to glorify God. 18 years was oppressed by a demon, and she was bent for 18 years. That demon affected her life. It wasn't just a sickness. That demon affected her life and made her walk like this for 18 years. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not here to scare anybody, but not because just because a person is sick, it doesn't mean that the demon is attacking them. But I can tell you the demon is so powerful to do those things because it's written in the Bible. Now you might say, oh, I'm sick. Is that a demon? No, I'm not saying that. Don't get me wrong here, but I can tell you that the demon is strong and can do those things because we see it in the scriptures. Close a person's mouth, bent a person. Jesus knew she wasn't born that way. It was an unclean spirit that went in her life, and that's it. But God, Jesus knew. That's who he is. Jesus is Jesus, and we who we are. Huh? But Jesus is Jesus, and he knows those things. Listen to this. Not every illness, I'm going to say it again, because I want it to be very clear this morning. Not every illness, not every physical sickness, not every spiritual illness is caused by a demon. But it's clear that demons can cause all those things. They can cause physical, emotional, and psychological. That was a slide 16, brother. The demons have the ability to oppress us physically and spiritually. And I have a sense that some believers don't believe that demons can affect us because we are with Christ. He will affect us. He will try anything in his way to affect us. He will try anything in his power to cut our legs off. I certainly believe that a believer cannot be possessed. Cannot be possessed. A believer in Christ cannot be possessed. Why do I say that? Look, because in Romans 8, 9 it says, you whoever not in the flesh but in the spirit, since the spirit of God lives in you. But if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. But now if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. And then if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who has raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his spirit who lives in you. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you yourselves know that you are God's sanctuary and the spirit of God lives in you? So the Holy Spirit will not allow a demon to possess, will not allow the demon, the Holy Spirit will not allow a demon to come into your life. He will not take the place of the Holy Spirit. Because now the Holy Spirit dwells in your life. So you cannot be possessed. Is that clear? Because someone told me one time that King David looked and lusted and all of a sudden because he was possessed. False. He was not possessed. He was oppressed. There's a difference over there. When you are pressed, takes him, the enemy comes. It's like the enemy comes, he's always on our shoulders, always trying to whisper things in our ears. He will do everything. He always do that. But you can't be possessed, okay? We're clear until that? We're okay for that? But demonic influences are realities for Christians. The enemy can have a very significant effect on a person's life. Even our lives can be under oppression of the enemy, which can use physical, psychological, emotional, spiritual problems. It can manifest himself in different ways. And here it is, the Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, 27. Since you put away lying, speak the truth each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry, look at this, and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil a what? An opportunity. Don't give him that satisfaction, that opportunity to come in and to say, just one time you can press that enter button. Just one time I can try this. Just one time I can do this. Because once he has a foothold of your, he will just get you the second and goes more and more and more and more. Families have been separated because they allow the foothold of the enemy to come in to take something in their life. Don't give him an opportunity. The Greek word is tupon. It means not even a place. Don't give him a place to the enemy. Something a part of. It's saying that when you have an unconfessed sin, an unrepented sin, when you're consistently walking in the known sin, and you don't deal with the sin, when you don't deal with it, like example, not telling the truth, sometimes people have a problem telling the truth. Stop! Because if you continue lying, he's going to haunt you, and he's going to destroy you. Then you're not even going to be trusted by anybody. Even God himself is not going to end up trusting you because you're lying all the time. Have you met someone like that that lies all the time? It's just lie over lie over lie over lie. It's because the enemy had just got a foothold in that person's and just lied and lied and lied and lied. The Bible tells us there. Come on, we're going to look at it together. I know there's, I'm stepping on some toes this morning, but we're going to look at it together. But what about this? Not telling the truth or going to bed angry. How many people go to bed angry? Oh, Lord. When you go to bed angry, it's going to grow. Bitterness will grow. And the next day, it's going to be worse. Deal with it right away. On the spot, deal with it. I remember when we just started getting married, you know, sometimes the cultures, my wife is a Central American from Guatemala, I'm from Italian, I have a stubborn head. Central American is stubborn too. We have all these, we're all stubborn, by the way, huh? Every one of us is stubborn. We all want to get our ways. But I remember the beginning of our marriage, we just, there were some nights that there was like arguments. It's normal. Am I the only one? No, every one of us had those situations there. But we never went to bed angry. Never. Even if it was 3 a.m, 4 a.m, 5 a.m, we had to take that opportunity to deal with that situation, because if it's in your heart, it will grow. When you're sleeping, the enemy comes and he will put it there and he will make it grow to destroy your life, because his plan is to destroy life. He will do everything in his power to do it. Then they're going to think you're sick, and then they're going to give you medication and you're worse than the first time. So deal with it on the spot. That's what he says. Don't give an opportunity to the devil to take a foothold. So brothers and sisters, if you have to deal with some situation, do it now. If he's lying, take care of it. If it's a problem with someone, take care of it. Don't allow it to grow. I'm saying it. The word is telling us this to encourage us this morning. It's hitting me too. It's not just for you. It's for me too. This was preached to myself first. I look at the mirror and I say, is this for me, God? This, the word of God, is for me. Because we're all here to learn and grow together every single day of our lives. We want to defeat this enemy. So it's possible in the life of a believer for the enemy to come in and to take up a place in your life, because you have opened the door for him and allowed him to come in. Another version tells us the foothold to the enemy. Foothold is a secure place. So if you allow him to put a secure place, you know, if you're climbing a mountain and you put yourself in a good, solid place, you can get progress. You can go higher and higher and higher because your foot is in a secure place. Don't allow the enemy to put a foothold, a secure place in your life, because it's going to be progress and progress. And he's going to come again, and you don't even know it, and all of a sudden you're going to say, I'm oppressed, what's going on with me? So when you see the secure place, you rebuke it in the name of Jesus, because the Bible tells us with authority and power that the enemy will fly from your life. If Jesus did it, he gives us this power and this authority from on heaven. Is when you and I accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, the whole package came out on us and says, you have the authority and the power to go out and cast out those demons in Jesus' name. This is not just for us. This word is even for us to bring to someone that you know who is oppressed. And you use the power and the authority that Jesus gives us. We should not be afraid to preach about oppression. We should not be afraid to speak about deliverance. Because today can also be a day that someone is set free by the power of the enemy. Today, that can be the day that you can just rejoice and walk in freedom and worship the Lord in freedom. Because we believe in the power of God. Amen.
I believe in the power of God. I believe in the power of God. You know, the enemy is powerful, but the enemy is so powerful to a certain point, because when we call out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we ask the Holy Spirit, and we ask God to come on down with the authority and the power of God, those demons will not stay there. They will flee, because now you're showing the authority of Jesus in your life. That's something that you have to look at. You cannot be afraid as those demonic spirits hit home. You cannot be afraid. You just stand, and you stand strong, and you say, I have the authority and the power that God has given to me. Flee from here. And I can tell you one thing, it will not be there anymore. It will not be there anymore. So don't give the enemy a foothold at all. Nothing. Because look in Galatians 5:1. I look at this and I read this. I said, Christ has liberated us to be what? To be free. Stand firm then, and don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. You were set free before. I was set free. So don't. He says, don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. We were once a slave, but today you and I are set free because Christ has set us free. Christ has entered into our heart and give us freedom. Amen? That's why you and I are here today. We're free because of Him. So it's possible for a believer who has been freed by the power of the cross and to not to walk in freedom, but instead to submit to slavery. Do you know that? You can have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but and you don't even walk in that freedom, because instead of walking in that freedom, instead you submitted to slavery again. Something has mastered your life. Whatever it is, it can be. If someone gets up in the morning and thinks, the first thing that thinks about is alcohol, there's a problem. If someone gets up in the morning and thinks about something else, it's a problem. The Bible does tell us, whatever has mastered you, you become a slave to it. And we're not slaves, we're set free by the power of God. We're new creation in Jesus Christ, amen? We're new in Jesus Christ. We're new. It's a new hope. Christian Assembly, there's some things that you and I can struggle with at times. Some of the things that is not a big deal right now in the life of a person. But let me tell you something. If it's not a big deal today, but if you're allowing what you're doing and you're allowing the enemy to have a foothold in your life, and if you don't deal with it right now, he will make progress the rest of your life. So he comes there and he takes that stand in the secure place and grabs you and takes that progress into your life, and then you're back into slavery. But we are called to live a righteous life. Christ has set us free. Amen? Christ has set us free. And we say to ourselves, I am not going to live in the yoke of slavery anymore, because Christ has set me free. So there is no playing with sin. This is a massive issue, even in the churches today. And I'm convinced that there's a lot of physical sickness, emotional sickness, a lot of spiritual issues, a lot of marriage issues, because we did not deal with the unconfessed sin. Demons are powerful and it can affect us. But I want to bring to the second point this morning. The authority and the power of Jesus. We see it in verse 36. Amazement came over them, and they kept saying to one another, what is this message? For he commands the unclean spirits with authority and power, and they came out. Authority and power are very important words, and right here we read. Authority is the right to do something. The power is the ability to do something. So the authority is the right, the power is what? The ability. God has given us the power to what? To do the ability to do something. But he's also given us the authority, the right to do something. The right to go against demonic spirits. So Jesus has both the right and the demand to do something, to set people free, to cast out demonic spirits. And I want to shorten it out, but you can look at this, and when you have some time in Acts chapter 19, we can look at it later on when you have a chance. You see the seven Skivas, if you know that story. They seen Paul casting out demons, so they wanted to cast out demons too. It did not work with them because they didn't use the power and the authority of God. They didn't use the power and authority of Jesus Christ. Paul was casting out demons in the name of Jesus. If you don't have the power and the authority, you cannot do it. You cannot go out and set people free by the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot set them free. You need to have the power and the authority. So if you don't have the power and the authority, you will be overcome and you will not be an overcomer. So remember, the power and the authority comes together. In Luke 9:1 says, summoning the 12, he gave them what? He gave them power and authority. That's the 12. If we go at 12 of the disciples right there, if we look at Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 18, we will see that the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. So not only that disciples, because some people say only the disciples can have this power and the authority, not only the 70, God has even given Jesus has even given the power to the 70, and he's given us the power to all of us and the authority to go out and cast out demons. And not only that, in Luke 4, verse 41, if we go back to the text that we look at it, look how important it is when you have this power, when you have the authority of Christ in your life. And also demons were coming out of many, shouting out and saying, you are Son of God, but he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak. You have the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. Don't allow that enemy to come in and start to speak to you. It's not a dialogue here anymore. You have that power and the authority of Christ in your life, and you cast out that demon in the name of Jesus. Eve had that dialogue. No, we don't have that dialogue. We have a what? A mono? How do you say that word? Monologue. One way. Out. And we'll flee. No time to waste. I'm not going to talk with you. I'm not going to reason with you. You don't belong there. Out. When you show authority and you show the power, it won't be there any longer. But if you go there with fear, and you're afraid, it's not going to work. Because the demon knows how to get you. He will put that fear in your life. He will put that fear in your life that you can't go out. I remember I told you the story about that demonic woman that had a demonic spirit in her life. If you went there and I said, oh, I'm a little bit scared. Oh, Lord, help me. It wasn't going to work. But you went there with the authority. You know, you all of us have this power and the authority that God has given us. So when you know that someone is oppressed, or even yourself, when you know that something is just controlled and something that's just coming in your life and is trying to oppress you, you come there with authority. And when you come there with authority and claiming the promises of Jesus and claiming the promises of the Word of God, and you come there with authority and the power of God, you will see that demon will not stay there any longer. You know, I've heard this in the past, that sometimes there was people who had demonic spirits. They would bring them inside and they say, okay, let's pray for them. They're a manifestation of the spirits are coming out of their life. And then after 4 hours, they were tired. They said, okay, we'll continue tomorrow. What have we done? Don't stop until those demonic spirits are out of that person's life. The enemy will come there and he will try to do anything and he will say, oh, everything is okay. But in reality, it's not right. Because he wants us to give up. But when you come with the authority, and you come with the authority and the power of Jesus Christ, and say in the name of Jesus, flee, it will flee. It will flee, because they rebuked him and he won't allow him to speak. So don't have this dialogue with Satan or with the enemy. Just say it in the name of Jesus and walk away and believe it, that God, because God has the power to do that. Amen. In the name of Jesus, they will drive out demons. He says, go in the world and preach the gospel. Am I right? Go in the world and preach the gospel. Baptize them, be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. And because he has given us the authority to cast out demons, we have to recognize and they have to understand the authority is when someone with greater authority comes against them, they have to respond. They have to respond. So because we have a greater authority in our lives, and that's Jesus in our lives, he's going to respond to walk away. The third thing, demons, remember, demons can affect us, but Jesus has the power and the authority over them all. And the third point is deliverance ministry is kingdom ministry. Remember, we are called to be kingdom people. We are called to push forward and to do the works that Jesus have done. Deliverance ministry is no different than the other ministry in the scriptures. It is much as important, this ministry, deliverance ministry, just as the apostles has gotten it, just as the 12 has gotten it, just as the 72 has gotten it, is important even for us to go out and do the same thing. If you drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. A sign of the kingdom of God is a sign when people who are freed by demonic oppression. The apostle did it with authority and power. The greater group of disciples have done it with authority and power. Church, you and I have an ongoing battles with the enemy every single day of our life. And the Bible tells us to resist and he will flee. And what happens is the following. We are afraid of this ministry. Because sometimes we are not well educated in this ministry here. You don't really need to be well educated in this ministry here. Read the scriptures. Follow the word. You have the authority and the power that God has given to you. So we put it aside and say, it's not for me, it's for that church there. It's for everybody of Christ. Not just for a selective church. So the enemy takes a foothold and we don't know how to get a hold of to get the foothold away. So what happens is we know a lot of people within even the churches have physical, emotional, psychological oppression. And it can cause us by demonic oppression and unconfessed sin. Because we as a church don't talk about much about it and we don't know what to do with it. We don't know how to take ground. There's a lot to say about deliverance ministry. But there's a lot to say about deliverance ministry about the unbelievers. And we're not going to touch about that. We're going to talk about something that oppression that we can face daily in our lives. Some of you this morning do have maybe sin that you have not confessed. Some of you might have an anger issue. If you don't deal with it, you're giving the devil a foothold. Deal with it right away. Bitterness, unsolved conflict, sexual immorality, deceitful spirit, lying of all those things are giving a foothold to the devil. We might think, oh, it's only affairs. No, it's everything. It can be lying, deceitful spirit, manipulation. We can go on. The list can go on. Don't allow the enemy to take a foothold of that, because when he gets that, he's going to take progress and he's going to go worse and worse and worse and worse. Deal with it right away. The question is, how are we going to get it back? How are we going to get back the enemy we took from us? Didn't we speak about that last week too? First of all, you got to be full of the Holy Spirit. Than the Word of God. But there's something that we didn't look at in depth last week. And I'm going to bring it to a conclusion soon. Maybe in 24 pages left. But I want to bring it to a verse that we've read so many times. But I want to just break it down slowly. Look at this. This is very simple, but hard to do. James 4:7-8 is a well-known scripture we all know. It says, therefore submit to God, and what? But resist the devil, and he what will flee from you. Verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded people. But look at verse 7 for a moment. Look what is important there. What's the first thing that comes out of your mind right there? Let's look. What comes out first? The first thing that we must do is submit. People want to resist, yeah, but you can't do it on your own. You got to submit first. So submit to under the authority of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, I have failed. Lord, help me in this area of my life. I humbly come before you this morning, Lord. I'm coming before you, Lord, because I know I can't do it alone. And I want to submit under your authority. And when you submit under the authority of God, then you can resist. We got to take some action here. Yeah, I want to resist the devil, but submit first. And one day I'll preach about this. 4 R's. Mind killers. The first thing is you must recognize. And when you recognize that situation, that problem, that thing that's controlling, you must reject it. And when you reject it, you must refill your minds. And then when you refill your minds, now you can redirect your life again. But the first thing is important, you must recognize. And here is you, the first thing you must do is you must submit to God and be humble before God and say, I have sinned, God, I need you, Lord. Every one of us, including me, I need him. Because it's so fast the enemy could impress me. It's so fast the enemy could oppress me, especially in a leadership position. There's things that come to my mind that I want to say sometimes. And if I allow the foothold of the enemy just to take a foothold of that thing that's trying to come into my mind, into my life, and allow it to take control, I am finished. I'll look at the church negative after, because the enemy, that's what he wants you to do. So we must submit ourselves. Bible tells us, be humble. Humble yourselves before God. It says, if we confess our sins, he is what? He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The second thing is, here is when we look at this, put the demons in their place. Resist the devil, that means, is an active thing. It is not a passive role. Take action. And tell them under the authority of Jesus, under the authority that God has given and the power he's given, you resist and say, you take the action, you don't belong here anymore. Flee from here. So the first thing is you submit. Second thing is put the demons in their place. Jesus spoke directly to the demonic spirit. Take a stand. God has given us a verbal weapon, is the word of God. He's given us a verbal weapon to us for you and I. All power and authority is yours. Speak to the enemy and tell him that he must flee. And he will. But if you show fear, he will still be there. But if you show the authority and the power of God, he will flee. Humble before the Lord by praying and confess your sins and get clean before him. Remember, we don't belong to Satan. We belong to Jesus because he died and purchased you and purchased me. And the last thing here we see is, the last one is, draw close to me. Draw near to me. And he what? And he will draw near to me. Let me say that when you're speaking against the devil, it's not a dialogue. It's a monologue. Demons have nothing to say in this conversation. You tell him to go in this place. He has no right in your life. He has no right in the life of your family. He has no right in the life of your husband. No right in the life of your children. Tell him to go to his place. That's where he belongs. And the only reason, demons have nothing to say in this conversation. The only reason, if there is because we allowed him. And now, the same authority we tell him, we have to tell him in the name of Jesus to leave. And let me tell you why this ministry is important, church, and I want to bring it to a conclusion. Because it exalts Christ. It's not exalting demons, it's exalting Christ. When a person is set free by the power of God, it exalts Christ. Amen? Another thing, why? Because there are people, even in the churches, who have accepted Christ as their personal Savior, but allowed the oppression, they have allowed the enemy, the demonic spirit, to oppress their life, and they need to be set free. That's why it's important to preach these things. That's why it's important to hear about the Word of God and these demonic spirits and this deliverance, because there are people that you and I know we're serving the Lord. There are people that you and I know we're worshiping God. But they allowed the enemy to take a foothold of something in their life, and today they're a slave again. Because the enemy had oppressed them completely. So they needed to be submitted. They submitted themselves to the slave of yokery. But I wanted to say this to you this morning. I don't know what sin, what it is, what lie, what unconfessed sin that you may have, or someone you know might have. If you don't deal with it, the enemy will take a foothold and it will oppress you. He will. Don't you ever think that you're stronger because you're not.
You're not. And don't you ever put that pride in front of you and says, I don't need it this morning because I am okay. Because that's what he's going to use, the pride. That's his enemy. It's his plan. Oh, but we're going to get there. So let Christ dwell in your life today. Allow him to be the center of your life. If you have not experienced him, take this opportunity this morning to do so, and he will set you free instantly in the power of Jesus. Confess your sins. Now, even couples, I pray that there was hundreds of couples here this morning, but couples need to confess to each other because there's things that couples are doing behind each other's lives, and you're allowing the enemy to take a foothold of that relationship. You know what's going to happen? He will end up separating this family. Because we allow that enter button more important than sitting down and communicate with your wife or your spouse. This is a serious business here. We're dealing with a serious person, the enemy. But we're serious with God too this morning, amen? And we're going to fight it in the name of Jesus. So let's all stand this morning. Let's all stand this morning. I want to bring it to conclusion as the band will come up. Will we sing if there's a song that we can sing together? Something about submission, something about surrendering our lives or our thoughts or actions, something in that area. And just, I want to read again James 4, verse 7 and 8 this morning. And I want us to apply this to our life, including myself. Every one of us, not just some people, every one of us need to do this morning. Because, listen, there's things in our lives that we failed, okay? Let's be honest. Let's be straightforward. There's things that we've made mistakes this past week. It cannot be, but let's deal with it. Whatever mistake it is, let's deal with it this morning and say, you know something? We're going to go and fight this enemy and say, in the name of Jesus, you flee. Amen? So I want to read this again as we're going to sing the song. You know, I surrender all. We're going to sing it together. So what the Bible tells us here this morning, therefore, submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded people. If you would draw close to a fan that there's a wind, you will sense the wind. The Bible tells us if you draw close to him, he will draw close to you. And when you draw close to him, the power of God will just come on your life. Because the presence of God is so powerful. So this morning, examine ourselves. We're fighting this enemy, and we need to be strong this morning. Amen? We need to be strong this morning. So including myself, I want to do this. I want to submit to God. And put the devil in his place. And I want to draw to him. So the altars are open. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to kneel down. We're going to worship. Let this place be a house of prayer this morning. Take 5 minutes. But deal with those things this morning. Don't allow the enemy to take a foothold of whatever it is this morning. So let's submit to God this morning. And surrender our lives this morning to him this morning. The altars are open this morning.